Friday, April 21st, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Presidents typically say nothing about the U.S. dollar, deferring to their Treasury secretaries, who always say that the U.S. supports a strong dollar. Not this president. He says that he prefers a weak dollar to benefit our exports. He is aware of the impact of currencies on trade, which is why he criticizes others for manipulating their currencies to bugger us. Yet, China is not a currency manipulator. You heard the president say so, which is the opposite of what he had been saying. It appears that whether China is a currency manipulator will be determined entirely on what they do with North Korea. Treasury Secretary Mnuchin said the usual thing by making a statement supporting the dollar, saying that everyone misinterpreted the president. This has been going around a lot lately where statements from the president and cabinet officials differ or conflict. The market clearly heard what the president said about the dollar, and many investment banks have rolled back their expectations for the dollar accordingly. Goldman Sachs was quoted in the Wall Street Journal, "The administration could affect the dollar through a variety of channels, including its appointment to the Federal Reserve Board and through aspects of trade and fiscal policy," unquote. The dollar surged post-election and expectations that they would roll through some fiscal policy with tax reform and infrastructure spending, but the failure to repeal and replace the ACA has taken the wind out of those expectations. Currency markets actually need to see some evidence that the GOP Congress can get some business done. European elections and Brexit will add to the volatility. While the president's jawboning has clearly deflated enthusiasm for the dollar, I'm not convinced that U.S. economic fundamentals still don't make up the cleanest dirty shirt in the hamper. If Donald actually does what he said that he would do with fiscal policy, it would support the dollar. The bond market has surged, sharing the same skepticism that Congress can deliver on fiscal policy. The yield curve is flattening. Crude oil sold off sharply this week. They were boosting expectations for an additional increase in U.S. crude production by 200,000 barrels a day so that it would offset in total half of what OPEC tried to reduce their production. The next OPEC meeting where they would have to extend these cuts is May 25th. U.S. oil stocks are at a record, rig counts have been increasing, and gasoline demand has been weak. U.S. frackers are boosting sand use to get much more oil out of wells. The U.S. rig count was at 824 March 31st versus 374 a year ago. They are almost making $50 a barrel oil work. Not quite, so they are adding some debt. Major U.S. oil companies are operating just short of break-evens, needing $60 a barrel oil to cover all cost. Russia is cheating, reducing production 130,000 barrels a day versus 300,000 pledged, so that the OPEC cut is struggling with discipline. The Saudis get angry when other producers free ride on their cuts. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. Global oil producers are borrowing money big time. The rich ones like the Saudis and Emirates have been using the bond markets, and the others less creditworthy are now using production financing where they commit future oil production as collateral. The bottom line is that none of their budgets are working at current oil prices. They've been trying to curtail production, but U.S. oil production increases have undermined the plan. U.S. ethanol production has not slowed either, up 7,000 barrels a day last week, most of which went into rising stocks. The Renewable Fuels Association says that gasoline demand fell 0.6%, while blender input of ethanol rose 0.4%. Ethanol production as a percent of daily gasoline demand was 10.77%. At that rate, the USDA could boost ethanol corn consumption 25 to 50 million bushel. The continued strong ethanol crust produces a lot of distillers' grain weighing on that market. New contract lows in wheat may be a bellwether for the corn market. I've expressed concern that the fund short position on wheat may extend to the corn market. Weekly corn export sales came in at the low end of the range of expectations. The ethanol industry sticks with corn but spins off distillers' grain. It doesn't appear like the wheat basis improvements in Kansas, where they are getting LDPs, so wheat competes as feed in a bunk. Farmers have been very poor corn hedgers this year, in part because they have bins full of the stuff, waiting for the price to go up enough so it at least matches what they put on the balance sheet to their banker. They have not seen a price they like, nothing close to profitable, and they are hoping for a surge in a weather rally above $4 Chicago, like occurred last year, to give them a chance to sell. It goes back to the old axiom of the market not doing what everyone wants it to do, or doing what surprises the most people. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information on marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.